special day here in Calgary. Championship Sunday. A day where here at Sunrise we'll be celebrating our very own champion burger flippers right after today's service. Let me put it this way. If you commit to staying for lunch and enjoying a Stampede-worthy burger, I'll commit to keeping my message short. Please stand as we sing our first song. Now, this song may be a little unusual for mid-July, and gentlemen, no, your wives have not asked me to remind you that Christmas is less than 6 months away, so you better start thinking about her Christmas present. The words of this song are relevant for today's message. They're also a good reminder of the joy we as Christians should have in our hearts every day. It's so easy to get caught up in everyday life and lose that joy. It's a little reminder every once in a while is good. Won't you stand?
Six, 7 to 9, and bring a snack. Cleaners needed, ushers, please come forward. Usher, okay. Oh, here he is. He is. And bringing in second place. Got his horses tangled up with the barrel, I think. Our Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing on this offering today as we remember the many blessings you have given us. We ask that you will always have the opportunity to use what we give in your word, in your name always. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Family of believers, we need to constantly lift each other up in prayer. And if you look at the back of the bulletin, you'll find a number of prayer requests that we should be praying for on a regular basis as we go through our week. Besides those requests, do we have here any prayer requests or prayer praise items that we can pray for this morning? Just the privilege we have of gathering in your name, celebrating, enjoying your presence, Lord. Lord, this morning we pray for all those who are traveling. There's many people that are taking this time to travel, to come here to visit, to go to other provinces, to just take time away. Lord, we pray for Pastor Stephen as he's doing an event today. We just pray for participating in the stampede and the cowboys and the riders and the people in general, Lord. We just ask for safety over them as they do some things that are quite athletic, Lord, and we just ask that you protect them. Lord, we pray for all the needs of the people that are here today, that are on our bulletin. We ask that you touch them in a special way, that you make your presence known to them. Lord, we just also pray for Norma, who's and Ron, who are traveling to Ireland. Lord, we just ask them for a safe trip. And we thank you that she's recognizing the need she has for you, Lord. And we just ask that you continue just pressing on her heart. Continue reconnecting. Lord, we pray all this in your name. Amen. So I put Fran on the spot this morning, and I asked her to help me with my slides. So, last second. Again, howdy and welcome. Even though you knew I was speaking today, you showed up. I'm truly humbled and thank you for being here. Let me start with a little story. A blonde and a redhead owned a ranch together. One morning when they went out to do their chores, they noticed that their bull had died. The women quickly realized that they needed to buy a new bull. The problem was they only had $500. So the redhead decides and tells the blonde, "I'll go to the market and see if I can find one for less than $500. If I can, I'll send you a telegram." Off goes the redhead to the market and finds one for $499. Excited about her find, but then realized she only had $1 left. She headed to the telegraph office, only to find out that it cost $1 per word to send a telegram. Now she's stumped. How am I going to tell the blonde to bring the truck and trailer? Finally, she tells the telegraph operator to send the word comfortable. Skeptical, the operator asks, how will she know to come with a truck and trailer from just that word? The redhead, with the sheepish look in her eyes, replied, "She's blonde. She reads slow. So this is how she'll read it. Come for the bull." They get worse every time, don't they? Like I said earlier, this is a crazy 10 days in Calgary. If you spend any time downtown, you'll see how easy it is to get caught up in all the festivities. I think it's fair to say that for these 10 days, folks temporarily forget about their day-to-day issues and get lost in the partying that goes on all around the city. Now, I understand that Stampede isn't for everyone and that there's many who choose to not participate. But that doesn't change the fact that Calgary is known worldwide for the Rockies and the Stampede. People choose these 10 days to come to Calgary, and that's wonderful. It's great for the city. Now, even while many are loving the joyous Stampede, there are some real problems that most folks are covering up. And what I'm hoping is that today's word, there's an echo give us a hint on how we can turn those problems into an inner peace and joy that we can always carry around with us. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be tough times. When those tough times hit, you will know that we have God's peace and joy. Even as we try to grab the bull by the horns and get through life, titled today's message, A Stampede-Like Joy. Okay, just leave it there. It's the next one. I've named it Stampede-Like Joy because, to be honest, when you allow that joy, that peace, to overtake you, you are removing the burden of sharing your yoke with your problem and replacing by sharing that same yoke with God, allowing Him to take the lead and come up with the best solution. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for today's message. Lord, I ask that you guide my words in a way that helps us to continue building our relationship with you. Lord, as you prepare our minds and our hearts to receive your message, give us the courage to not only listen, but to act on the feelings that you put in our hearts. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as preparing for today's message, I came across Psalms 107. You have to understand that I've read Psalms numerous times, but this time, something struck me as I read Psalm 107. Let's stand as we read the whole psalm. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their stories. Those He redeems from the hands of the foes, those He gathered from the land from the east and the west, from the north and south. Can you guys hear that? They were hungry and thirsty. Their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their troubles, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by the straight way to the city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. For He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains, because they rebelled against God's command and despised the plan of the Most High. So He subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their troubles, and He saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His faithful deeds for mankind. For He breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gate of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He sent out His word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thanks offering and tell of His works with songs of joy. Some went out to the sea in the ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke, and he stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storms to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when he grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the high assembly, in the assembly of the people, and praise him in the council of the elders. He turned rivers into desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and first fruit land into salt waste because of the wickedness of those who live there. He turned the desert into a pool of water, and the parched ground into flowing springs. There, he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. Then, their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in trackless waste. But he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Let one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. As we read Psalm 107, did you notice there was a common theme? Verse 6. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Again, in verse 13. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. We see it again in verse 19. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. And finally, in verse 28, then he cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. In all four situations, somehow, they came to the understanding that the only real way out was to cry out to the Lord. As we take time this morning to look on how each one of these four situations apply to us here today, I am yet again struck by the notion of the more things change, the more they stay the same. How often have you heard it, or even said it yourself? Why do you try and solve a problem on your own power? You need to take it to God first. I don't know if there's a week that goes by where I don't hear this at least once. And now we have a psalm that was written in the 9,000 to 1,000 year BC era, where in a last-ditch effort, at the end of their wits, cry out to God for help. To be quite honest, I don't feel as bad. I can stop beating myself up for being a bad Christian and not taking it to God first. We have to believe that God put this psalm in his word, the Bible, because he knew how proud mankind would be experienced this type of trouble. The closest I would claim to know is Alicia, our daughter, and it wasn't a bull, it was a horse. She was out riding at my brother-in-law's place. She was on a full-size quarter horse when all of a sudden our nephew came out running around the corner yelling, spooked the horse, who first reared up and threw Alicia to the ground right in front of him, and then the horse went straight up with both hoofs landing on each side of her head. That was a scary moment. How did Dad comfort her? Brushed her off, gave her a hug, said, "Get back on." We won't talk about what Mom thought of Dad's comforting tactics. As I said, let's take a look at these four scenarios. The first one is found in verses 4 to 6. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. Now, I am convinced that we have all spent some time in the wasteland, in the desert of our lives. A time in our lives when we feel lost, without purpose. A time when we're thirsty for peace in our soul and hungry to find our purpose in life. It is at this period that we really need to be careful. In my experience, that is the time when we are most susceptible to losing sight of our personal beliefs and values. Now, I experienced this desert right after Keely passed away. For 2.5 years, I wandered. We had made plans. We were starting to build a ministry around marriage. We were enjoying life together. But that all changed. I felt like Moses, led to the desert to wander. Now, don't get me wrong. There are positives from wandering in the desert. Every once in a while, you come across an oasis, a resting place, a place where you can get refreshed and get temporary relief from the day-to-day struggles. For example, when Claire, our granddaughter, was born, I experienced that type of relief. Unfortunately, as a society, it feels like this is where we are, wandering back and forth, trying to find the next thing that will fill us. We try different political parties. We listen to the gurus and celebrities for direction. As a church, we have a duty. We need to be careful. We need to cry out to God to protect us from getting caught up in all the hype and fads. We need to seek wisdom, both personally and corporately, to find the burning bush, a place where we will find purpose, peace, and joy. Joy comes as God reveals His plan for our lives, and we take the steps towards fulfilling His plan, no matter how foolish they may look. When you take those steps, you will start clearly seeing your direction and feeling the heaviness of uncertainty starting to lift. Our second scenario is found in verses 10 to 13. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners of suffering in iron chains, because they rebelled against God's command and despised the plans of the Most High. So He subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and saved them. He saved them from their distress. People currently living in this scenario actually break my heart. This scenario describes folks who willingly walked away from God and now defy His commands, and in some cases even deny that God even exists. Why does it break my heart? Well, and I'm not going to claim to be an expert or have done extensive research on the matter, but in my experience, in my circle of influence, vast majority of people that have walked away from God or even believing in God is due to the church or a Christian brother or sister. That's very painful and does not speak well of the church of God. Unfortunately, these folks have hardened their hearts to anything God. They're not interested in Christian values or truth, but the Bible. Much of what we're seeing today points to this reality, prejudice against Christians. No right or wrong. No accountability for our action. The constant competition to be better than our neighbor. The worship of stuff, and ultimately, the worship of I. Satan has done a good job at luring us away from what we were taught by blurring the lines of what is acceptable and what isn't. He also knows that mankind is proud, is a proud bunch, and has used that pride against God's church. He is using that pride to his advantage. Heck, he's even changed the meaning of the word pride. Is there hope? Well, I'm sure I'm not the only one who's read the end of the book. Yes, there's hope. Yes, there is a much bigger picture here, and we know God and his church wins. If you know of somebody who's currently living in darkness, love them. Show them that what is true believer of Christ is like. Do not judge them for their choices. Help them see who Jesus is by your words and your actions. Don't try to Bible thump. Pray for them. The joy you will experience when you see them come back to the Lord will fill your heart. And if you're currently living in this darkness, understand that the local church is filled with imperfect people, that Christians are humans and will make mistakes often in the name of Jesus. Know that God is perfect. His word is infallible, and that he died on the cross for your and my sins, past, present, and future. That his grace is everlasting, and that you are always welcome into his family. I personally was told once by a trusted pastor that I could never be a pastor. And that hurt for many years. I've since learned that it was his own insecurity speaking. I've also found out that pastoring is not based on somebody's decision, but it's a calling from God. And I've been pastoring in my community and my work for many years. And every so often, I actually get to preach from the pulpit. Allowing God to work in your life, softening your heart, will bring you incredible joy. Will it take all the crazies away? No. But at least you'll know that you have a solid rock to stand on. Our third scenario is found in verses 17 to 19. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. Depression. How many of us have or are currently suffering with depression? This condition can be quite tricky. It may come on with no warning and for no apparent reason. Some people walk around in a state of depression without even knowing it. All they know is something is wrong. Something is off. They lack interest. They have no interest in eating, have trouble focusing. They will have a feeling of helplessness and hopelessness, have thoughts of suicide. They can't feel God, even though they may consider themselves Christians. They feel separated from God. Often depression is seen as someone being weak or even lazy. how do we deal with depression? How does the Bible deal with the depression? Really? Does the Bible really deal with depression? Well, yes, it does. The prophet Elijah suffered from depression. And so let's take a look at how God heals this man of God. First, in answering Elijah's prayer request to die, God recognizes that this is not imaginary. It's a real condition. He doesn't ask Elijah why he's being so dramatic and why his faith is so weak. No. He lets him sleep. He then feeds him and lets him sleep some more. Then he takes him and plops him in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. Doesn't say anything. Doesn't offer any advice or counsel. God just lets Elijah think and rest. So far, all God has done is love on him and allowed him to rest. Then he started dealing with the issues. First, he sends him to Mount Horeb to worship God. Our equivalent today would be go to church. Even if you don't feel up to it, when you get up Sunday morning, force yourself to come to church so you can worship and focus on God. Worship is not limited to coming to a building Sunday morning. During the week, pray. Listen to praise and worship music. Read your Bible. You will start noticing a peace come over you during these times of worship. Next, God had Elijah tell him what the problem was. On two occasions, God asked Elijah, "What are you doing here? Do you for one second think that God didn't know?" Of course God knew, but it was important for Elijah's well-being that he identified the issue. Today's equivalent would be to seek God's counsel, godly counsel. See a professional counselor. Seeing a counselor doesn't mean you're crazy or weird. A counselor can help you take those next steps on the road to recovery. The third thing God did was when helping Elijah was dealing with the false belief that was causing Elijah's depression. Elijah believed that he was the only prophet left and that God was doing nothing to protect him. God quickly corrected him. He told him that he had 7,000 other prophets and he was preparing others to be kings and setting up Elisha to be Elijah's replacement. Often, in our depressed state, we do not see God at work. We feel isolated from God, but rest assured, God is there. He is working his plan. Lastly, God gave him something practical to do. God told Elijah to go and anoint a couple of kings. Don't sit idle. Service. Helping others is one of the best remedies for depression. Also, remember the old adage, you are what you think. It's not just a saying. If you're always thinking negative thoughts or putting yourself down, you will start believing yourself and losing confidence, feeling hopeless. You need to stop and turn that around. I love the way this section ends in verse 22. And tell of his works with songs of joy. Our last scenario is found in verses 23 to 25. Some went out to sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep, for he spoke and stirred up the tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. If you didn't fit in any of the other categories, this is it. Because we have all problems on our own and then get frustrated when things go sideways. What we need to understand is that when we let God be God, He will calm those seas, which will allow us to enjoy the fruits that we hear in verse 30. They were glad when it grew calm, and He guided them to their desired haven. Let me finish with the way I started. When dealing with trouble, Psalm 107 shows us that the path to joy is by crying out to God and allowing Him to deal with the situation. Finally, I wouldn't define crying out as a simple yelling out loud as I can. No. The way I would define crying out is a grieving in the soul. Confessing our pride, thinking that we could deal with the situation on our own. Allowing God to speak to our hearts, being open to hearing about things in our hearts that need to be changed. Committing to doing what is right in God's eye. Let's pray. Lord, this was a tough lesson. It was difficult because it hit most of us personally. But as difficult as it was to hear, Lord, we needed to hear it. Now, as part of your body of believers, we cry out to you for those in our congregation who are dealing with health issues that are limiting who we want. We cry out for those in our congregation who are separated from family and have an ache in our hearts for every time we think of them. We cry out for those who have experienced a loss of a loved one and are wondering how to move forward. We cry out for those whom getting old is scary and frustrates